This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris. 37 years ago today, an Episcopal priest set up a tape recorder at a little church-owned teen center in Freehold, New Jersey. The young cleric wanted to capture the music of a popular local high school band as they played for opening night at the center. What Father Fred Coleman got on tape that day in 1967 just may be the first live recording of Bruce Springsteen. Mark Uricki from member station WKSU has the story.
Bruce Springsteen was just 17 years old when the band he was in, the Castiles, first played at the Left Foot in his hometown. Father Fred Coleman says the kids did all the decorating for the teen club on Throckmorton Street.
They repainted the interior. They hung a fishnet on the ceiling, which was a very popular thing to do in those days. Telephone cable reels served at tables.
Membership cards cost $2, and admission was $1.50.
I just knew that the Castiles were a quality band, and I would like to maybe just get them down on tape.
He used a Sony stereo reel-to-reel deck and two microphones.
Yeah, the microphones were separate, and they just plugged into the side of the tape deck. Fortunately, I taped these tapes at 7.5 inches per second, so good quality.
But Coleman put the microphones on the floor, so the drums tend to overpower the vocals. In 1967, the drummer was Vinnie Maniello. Kurt Fluor played bass, Paul Popkin played tambourine, and Bobby Alfano played organ. George Thies was the boss, playing guitar and singing. Springsteen was the lead guitarist, but by this time he was getting more lead vocals. Weeks later, both George Thies and Bruce Springsteen had turned 18, and the band was back at the Left Foot. Again, Father Coleman was rolling tape. He always liked the way the Castiles would open a set with the circus march and then plow right into a song.
There it is. And then... Oh, God, that's great.
In this case, it was One by One by the Blues Magoos. The Castiles played a variety of covers, but organist Bob Alfano recalls they had to negotiate a split in the Jersey Shore audiences. Some people liked Beach Boy-type pop, and others wanted grittier stuff.
Back then, there was a definite line between what we used to call rah-rahs or collegiates, and then soul music and greasers, you know? We tried to please everybody, I guess, you know, do a little bit of everything because we wanted to work. And then we had our own stuff that we wanted to play also, so.
Alfano helped write one of those originals called Mr. Jones.
I can't believe you have the whole song. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, me and him wrote it together, kind of, me and Bruce.
By the time the Castiles played the Left Foot, the band, with a slightly different lineup, had already recorded a 45. George Thies remembers writing the two original songs with Springsteen in the car on the way to the studio.
Yep, we did it at it was a shopping mall in Bricktown, and there was a small studio there. It was like almost like a record player recorder, and we recorded the two songs like that right there.
The two songs were cut onto acetate. They were called Baby I and That's What You'll Get. The author of an upcoming book on Jersey Shore music, Bob Santelli, was himself in a high school rock band at the time, not far away in Point Pleasant Beach. He remembers the Castiles could keep up with the musical upheaval of those days.
You know, you're going from playing The Animals in 1966 to Hendrix in 1967, and there's a long distance between what The Animals were doing and a year later what Hendrix was doing. The best thing about the Castiles was that they had good players, and you know, and Bruce was really one of the kingpins there. He picked up this music really quickly. In 1967, to play Purple Haze, for instance, required a degree of astuteness on your guitar if it was going to sound pretty good, and Springsteen had it back then, as did George Thies and the others. It was a good band. It was a solid band musically.
Just about every concert Springsteen has performed in the last 20 years has been taped by someone. But Charles Cross, the author of the Springsteen book Backstreets, says Father Coleman's tapes stand out.
In the early 60s and mid-60s, that was pretty darn rare. And for the fact that there is a recording of this, it's very important simply for historical reasons.
As the second Left Foot show was being recorded, the Beatles were in a London studio working on Magical Mystery Tour. 3 days later, Woody Guthrie died. 3 months later, the Castiles' first drummer, Bart Haynes, was killed in Vietnam. And 7 months later, the Castiles broke up. Bob Elfano tried to make it with several other bands.
Oh, that's a long story, what happened. I guess, you know, kind of got sidetracked with a marriage and another career, driving a truck. I became a Teamster, and took a different path.
Alfano's bandmate George Thies became a carpenter, but continues to play music whenever he can. Today, Fred Coleman is retired and living in Akron, Ohio. He's kept the tapes in their original boxes for 37 years. Somebody copied them years ago, and they ended up as bootleg albums in Europe. Both Coleman and NPR tried to contact Springsteen, but he didn't reply. Coleman wants to give him the tapes.
I think he might very much like to have these tapes, and that would be fine by me.
The Left Foot Teen Club still holds a warm place in the hearts of the Castiles, and today it may carry a little extra meaning for Springsteen. It's now a food bank, the kind of charity he's supported across the country. For NPR News, I'm Mark Uricchi.
You can see the Castiles and hear extended versions of the interviews at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.